जय श्री भक्ति सूर्य गोस्वामी महाराज की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि।
हरे कृष्ण। There's some questions.
First question is from Nisimha Chaitanya Prabhu. What does it mean when it says that the Bhagavatam became sweeter after being tasted and spoken by Srila Shukadeva Goswami? What is the actual Bhagavatam or message of the Bhagavatam, what was passed down from Krishna to Brahma to Narada, Vyas, etc.? And how did the different receivers enhance it?
Enhance it?
Maharaj, if you like me to speak,
I'd like you to speak something.
Substantial words. Then I would read from Sermons of Guardian of Devotion number 3, I think, where Guru Maharaj, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Guru Maharaj's words are recorded there, where he's explained the four sittings of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's volume 3 or volume 4. One of those two books is there. But in the absence of that book, I refer you to Srila Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj.
Well, Maharaj is mentioning Srila Guru Maharaj. So Srila Guru Maharaj has a comprehensive way of looking at these things, examining this sort of proposal, question. So when he is giving his explanation of the Brahma Gayatri, he likes to begin by referencing the Garuda Purana. It says, Artoyam Brahma Sutranam Bharatartha Vinirnaya Gayatri Basya Rupavsho Vedartha Paribringhita. So, Artoyam Brahma Sutranam. Brahma Sutra sometimes means Vedanta, another work of Srila Vyasadeva. We're told Srimad Bhagavatam is the fully matured, ripened fruit of the tree of Veda. Srila Guru Maharaj will draw our attention to the understanding that, as indicated in this sloka, they must all be thematically underscoring, emphasizing, revealing the same thing. That may not be apparent. Like today, I saw a mango tree, right, that I've walked by many times. But now it has some mangoes on it. For the longest time, there are no visible mangoes. So if you're just looking at the tree and you don't understand the connection between a mango and that tree, then you can't properly conceive of what is the purpose of that tree. So if you divorce the fruit of the tree of Veda from Veda, then you can't understand properly what is the purpose of the Vedas. Right? Even in Gita, Krishna says, Vedaischa sarvar ahangeva Veda. Whatever they apparently appear to be saying, I'm ultimately what is to be known by them. And that Krishna, right, who is reality the beautiful, who is sweetness personified, he is not alone. Right? Krishna means Radha and Krishna, Lalita Vishaka, Nanda Yashoda, you know, Rupa Rati, Sridham, Sudham, Subal, like that. The cows, Vrindavan, Jamuna, That's Krishna means all of these things. So, it says Nigama Kalpaturor, Kalpatru Galitampalam. So, the Veda, if you take it, that's tree. Veda is like a tree. Elsewhere, Guru Maharaj mentions as the Vedanta, that Artoyam Brahma Sutranam, is the flower of the tree. Sometimes we hear the expression floral essences. So Vedanta's the flower of the tree of Veda. So it has the essence there, but from within that flower, the flower gives way to the fruit. And as described there, the fully matured, ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literature, the Veda Kalpaturu. And Guru Maharaj will tell us, that must be the same. What's in Veda, where it's pointing, the direction it's pointing, and where Vedanta is indicating, what comes in the Bhagavatam, and Veda Mata, Gayatri Basya Rupo Sho. This is the commentary on the Gayatri Mantram. Right? Gayatri Murli Stakirtana Dhanam Radha Padam Dimahi. So, sometimes Srila Gurudev would say about that. About which subject matter is Krishna fluting? Say, Gayatri Murli Stakirtana Dhanam. Kirtan, the song of Krishna's flute, what is his subject matter? What is he fluting about? Yadamiyam mahima sri bhagavatyam katayam pratipadam anubhutam yapyal labdavideya tadakila rasa murti shamalila avalambam madura rasadi sri radha padapadmam Prabhadye. When we mention this collection of slokas that Guru Maharaj was and the line of Bhaktivinoda and Bhagavat Arkamarichi Mala, he could not do that compilation, but he did compose some of the introductory mantras, the pranams. Gadadhar is one. Vyas, another. This about the Bhagavatam. Yadamiyam mahima sri Bhagavatam katayam. That although her name is not mentioned overtly in Srimad Bhagavatam, her name is not mentioned, but every step of the way is to take us in the direction of the service of her holy lotus feet. That means Radha Dasyam. So Guru Maharaj is saying the purport of Gayatri is Radha Dasyam. And it must be the purport of the Bhagavatam, of the Vedas. It must all be going. They're not taking one in different directions. Temporarily or apparently, superficially, they might appear to be doing that. The Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunya Bhavarjana. Vedas seem to be, they're giving their aspects that are mundane or some directions within the mundane, as Guru Maharaj says elsewhere, to come out of the mud. You may have to walk through the mud for some time. So there's that kind of thing. But where is it to go ultimately? Muktir hitvanyata rupam swaropena vivastiti. That there is a life other than what's available in this world. And a life in liberation is not to merge into the existence of the Absolute. But swarupena, swarup, that We should be aspiring servitors to enter the Sevamayoyam Loka, the spiritual world, where one has the opportunity to serve Krishna, to have a loving relationship with Krishna, and one of five relationships. And more particularly, the good fortune of those in the line of Srila Guru Maharaj and the Rupa Nuga line, Chaitanya Saraswat, means more specifically, not Krishna Das in the general sense, but more specifically, Radha Dasyam, the service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And that, where I said, that's the wealth that Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to give to the world. Why is he publishing all these books and all of these songs and everything? It's not for any other purpose. There's one thing in mind, ultimately. It's only about this one thing, really, truly. So, Shyamalila Avalambam. Shyamalila, as Gurudev once told, interestingly, mysteriously, he said that black is the color of Madhura Rasa. But, we say, Achintya Guna Swarupam. It's not black like you've seen, or the black that comes to mind when you think black. Achintya Guna means it's an inconceivable. Shyama Lila, Shyama Sundar, Yam Shyama Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam. The whole Shyama Lila here means Madhura Rasa. Avalambam means it's dependent upon Srimati Radharani. Without her, it doesn't exist. In all of its forms, in all of its variegatedness, without her, it doesn't exist. That means nothing exists. As Guru Maharaj told when representing a particular line of thought of Madhvacharya, saying, there is a thing, the devata of that thing, like air, you know, and then the god of air, a thing, the devata of the thing, Guru Tattva, the essence of Guru Tattva, Baladev, and then Radha, Krishna, Chidlilamritam. This is the way things move. That's why Guru Maharaj will say in his subjective evolution of consciousness, that everything is ultimately personal. Right? Because it's the whole objective world is like an iceberg floating in an ocean of consciousness. So the rishis, understanding this principle, they address the moon in a personal way, Rahu in a personal way, the wind in a personal way, the ocean in a personal way. So, what was I saying? That? Oh, Radha Govinda Chidli Lamritam. But Guru Maharaj said, but with reference to this sequence given by Madhvacharya, Guru Maharaj said, but I say just the opposite, meaning there's Radha and Krishna at the center of everything in the origin. Then comes the Baladev, the Guru Tattva, the Devata, the thing. It's coming in that way. That's what he means by saying just the opposite. So then if we think, and what is the specialty of the relationship of Radha and Krishna? Parakya Bhav, Parakya is what saturates Gokula Vrindavan. So it means it's at the source of everything. Everything is descending from there. One idea is that Shantarasa, when enhanced, becomes Dasyarasa, enhanced, Sakyarasa, enhanced, Vatsalyarasa, enhanced, like that. But you can look at it in the reversed order as well. So Guru Maharaj will say, Madhura Rasa is the Adirasa, Mukhya Rasa, the principle, the original. All other rasas are clients of Madhura Rasa, or satellites of Madhura Rasa. but it is the original. So if the Bhagavatam is presenting Krishna conception, what is Krishna conception without Madhura Rasa? Huh? Vasudev Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sadurlabaha. Norman said, this is the first glimpse of personal conception of God. But where's Shakti, his feminine counterpart? Once he said, Krishna without Radharani, he said, is half Mayavad. He said, Krishna without Radharani is Brahma. And he quoted Swami Maharaj Prabhupada once saying, Krishna without Radharani, he's not so beautiful. Reality the beautiful? As the Sukh Sari, the Sukh parrot saying, oh, Krishna's Madan, he's bewildering everyone in the universe, he's so beautiful. And Sari saying, yes, but that's when he's at the side of Radharani. Otherwise, he himself is bewildered by her beauty. He's enchanted. Madan, Mohan, Mohini. Mohini. She can bewilder, attract Krishna. All attractive Krishna is irresistibly drawn in attraction to Srimati Radharani. So, when that, I asked Guru Maharaj about the churning of the milk ocean or the Kheer Sagar, and the devatas and the asuras. Why is this after the eighth canto, why is it referenced in the concluding section of the Srimad Bhagavatam? He said, what the reason it's being presented there is the what was stated in the beginning, that Nigama Kalpatura, this is being underscored here in the end, that what is that substance, Amrita, that they're searching for? The devatas and the gods, they're searching for Amritam. So the typical stereotype about Asia, India, this type of a pastime is saying, well, the gods and the demons were searching for the nectar of immortality because they want to live forever. That's as far as most people are prepared to go with it. Like, oh, okay. That's what they're doing. The Bhagavatam is not full of that type of story. The Bhagavatam is the literature that's presenting rasa. This is part of Guru Maharaj's method for interpretation. It must be consistent all along, promoting this notion. So even that pastime, it has to have some connection with rasa and madhura rasa, otherwise it wouldn't be in the book. It has to either directly or indirectly be promoting this. That's his point. He says, yadamiyam mahima sri bhagavatam katayam pratipadam, pratipadam. At every step, it's actually taking you in this direction. Even though you may not realize it at the time or have the capacity to extract that kind of meaning or concept, this is what it's doing. That's why he gives that Garuda Purana verse. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary on Gayatri. I'm saying, well, it didn't sound like that to me. It's because you're not Guru Maharaj. To him, that's what it sounds like. He sees this. Of course, it's his part of his lifelong work. His interpretation of Gayatri, you could call it a masterwork, a masterpiece of theistic interpretation. The most ancient, prominent mantra in the history of Indian religion, if you want to say, the Brahma Gayatri. Srila Guru Maharaj gives an unparalleled interpretation of that. He reveals what its inner meaning is. Think about that. Millions of years in India, great sages, devatas, gods, goddesses, Vedavyas books, Guru Maharaj reveals, our Guru Maharaj reveals the meaning of the Gayatri Mantra. So, as Gurudev said, then who is Guru Maharaj? Gurudev knows who Guru Maharaj is, that we can be sure of. So, saying, what is the object of their churning? They want Amrita. But it's not that they just want to live forever. He's saying the reason it's being mentioned there is saying that the ultimate nectarine substance is Madhura Rasa. And that's the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the real object of the search. Like we sing these prayers every day, Abhishta Puran, and so talking about fulfilling, it seems to be saying, fulfill your, all your desires will be fulfilled. It's not talking about the kind of desires that we have normally. It's talking about in the deep heart's core. That's what it's saying. What you don't even know you're capable of, those desires will be fulfilled. That you didn't have a clue of the possibility of this type of ecstatic, loving exchange. So the Srimad Bhagavatam presents Madhura Rasa gradually, systematically. It culminates in the Madhura Rasa pastimes of Krishna, Radharani, and Brajagopis in Vrindavan. So they're told when it's the Bhagavatam is taken to be the body of Krishna, that the 10th canto is said to be the smiling face. Right? And if we quote Bilva Mangal Thakur, Krishna Karnamritam, you think Madhuram, 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 Madhu, Asya Bibo, Madhuram, Madhuram, Vadanam, Madhuram, Madhu Gandhi, Mridu, Smitam, Etadaho, Madhuram, 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 Madhuram. He's ecstatically overwhelmed and expressing the sweetness of Krishna. And his sweetness personified, the form of Krishna. Elsewhere, Jayadev said, Anandam, Anangotsavam. His body like a festival of sweetness and beauty. I think that's how Krishna looks. And he's sweet to begin with, but his face is even sweeter if you start looking at him more scrutinizingly. And if a smile appears on the face of Krishna, that's even sweeter. So the 10th canto is the sweet, smiling face of Krishna. So what is Sukadev relishing? He's relishing all of this because, as Gurudev said with reference to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one of his songs that Krishna is the property of Srimati Radharani and her girlfriend, he says, all the Vedas say this. And then we get out our Vedas and go, where? Do a Google search of the Vedas. I don't see how they're saying this. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sees that. And he says, that's all they're saying. The Vedas are declaring that Krishna is the property of Radharani and her girlfriends. So Gurudev said, why can he say that? Because he has a comprehensive view of the whole thing. He knows what the fully ripened fruit is, what that nectarine substance is that's mentioned at the beginning. That's what Sukadeva is tasting. He may talk about so many things. You know, about things that Guru Maharaj said are geographically impossible. The planets, the sun, the moon. He tells so many stories. There's so many references. But he's relishing this substance. That's in the background or at the heart of the matter. Just as we find in the beginning of the Brihad Bhagavatamritam, that there's Maharaj Janamejoy, who's the son of Pariket Maharaj, and Jaimini Rishi. And we're told that Jaimini Rishi has just concluded telling the Mahabharata. And there are many places where this is done, and there are particular ways they do this, and we can understand as these super qualified sages, saints, when they tell these stories, they're extraordinary. But what's of particular interest here, and it's at the very beginning of the work, so that means it's extra significant. It's not just some trivial thing or something insignificant or peripheral. It's central. Janamejoy says, previously I heard the Mahabharata from Bishampayana Rishi. And now here, you've told it. He said, but the way you've told it, although the stories are the same, it's this more or less the same, same, but the way you've told this, there's some extraordinary sweetness, madura, taste to the way you tell these stories. And it's awakened a thirst within me to taste more of this madura sweetness. So if you could speak more along those lines, and that allows Jaimini Rishi. Now, so he's saying, in other words, he's saying, I want to taste this madura rasa substance. The way you told Mahabharata had that type of sweetness, but I want you to go deeper into that if you can. So then it's necessary, Bhagavat Amritam, Brihad Bhagavat Amritam. And what does he say? That when Pariket Maharaj had just heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva Goswami gives him some final parting blessing, and now what, Tarkshaka is going to come, and the snake bird is going to take, and the Bhagavatam, he takes the form of a Brahmin and bites Pariket Maharaj. It's described differently in other places. Anyway, and the sage, I forget who it is, but who knows the how to counteract the venom, the Tarkshaka approaches and like gives, oh Maharaj, here, have one golden cup, and you know, he's giving some gifts to him, so oh thank you very much, to get him away so that he cannot provide an antidote mantrically for Pariket Maharaj. But we're told, right, Sukadeva's gone, there's this, you know, contraction and expansion of time and space. So it's, relatively speaking, a short time. And it's in that short time that Uttara, who was running in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, right, she comes, remember, because she's protecting Pariket's and her womb at that time. Ashwatthama's thrown the Brahmastra. She comes running to Krishna for shelter. Pahi, pahi, mahayogin. And anyway, now she comes running in and she says to her son, I know you just heard all this nectar from Sukadev. Can you, you know, let me hear that nectar, that divine substance. Not because here, like Guru Maharaj will say, you know, normally the eyes can't hear. Right? Your eyes can see, your ears can hear, things like that. But the mind can hear, see, it can do many things. So, angani yasya sakalendriya vittimanti. And the Brahma Sangha, spiritually speaking, the senses are all interchangeable. She wants to taste the substance through hearing, is my point. And which means she's super qualified. Because in the second half, the Goloka Mahatmya, she says, of what you've described of the spiritual world and the Vaikuntha world, it's wonderful, it's extraordinary. But I'm thinking, what, for the likes of Yashoda, you know, Radharani and Brajagopis, they must have a special place where that's reserved for them. Could you say something about that? Then he speaks, the Goloka Mahatmyam is revealed. But at any rate, that's how this allows Jaimini Rishi was nearby in the bushes, hiding. So he's like listening, and Parikshit Maharaj said, Mother, I'm glad you came right now, because, you know, like one by one, I was turning off my senses. Because he knows that Tarkshaka is coming. So he's just turning off the body. So what's left, by the time he comes in, that's another thing. Parikshit Maharaj is beyond that. Tantu Raja Murisheti Pashubudhim Imam Jahi, Sukadev tells. So this allows for, in that interim period, for Parikshit Maharaj to speak the Brihad Bhagavatamritam to Uttara, his mother. And we can't go into that right now. But one thing we can note is, like, twice it reaches an epitome with the sloka, Asamaho Charanarenu Jushama Hangshang, Brindavane Kimapi Gomalato Sadinam, Yadjushta Jam Swajanam Arjapatam Chihitva, Bejur Mukunda Parivim Shrutibir Vimrigyam. Glorifying Srimati Radharani and the Brajagopis as Guru Maharaj told when he met this pundit in South India who knew the entire Bhagavatam by heart. So that's like said to be 18,000 slokas. Guru Maharaj says 16,000 are extant. So anyway, I mean, he knows 16,000, you know, he knows the whole Bhagavatam. And Guru Maharaj says, and so considering you are, you know, adept in understanding the whole book, and who, in your opinion, who are the greatest devotees? And he said, Chatushan, the four Kumaras. What do you say? And Guru Maharaj said, they're in the lowest position. he's like, they're in the highest. Guru Maharaj said, we bow to them, the four Kumaras, but they're in the lower position. And with two slokas, Guru Maharaj gets to the point and defeats that gentleman. The first being, this shows what you call, what is it? Barabyahi and Saragrahi. Someone's carrying the burden of so much knowledge, and the Saragrahi Vaishnava can extract the essence. So Guru Maharaj said, Natata Priyatama Atmayonya na Shankara. Na cha sankarsana na sri naivatma cha yata bhavan. Krishna himself, he should be an authority. Krishna, he says, there is no one more dear to me than you, my dear Uddhava. Not atmabhu brahma, not Shankara, Shiva, not Sankarshan, my brother, and not Sri, Goddess Lakshmi. No one is as dear to me than you. And what's more than that, I am not as dear to me as you are dear to me. So that establishes the relative supremacy of Uddhava. Right? And one sloka comes from Krishna. But that Uddhava, he says, asamaho charanarenu jashamahangsham brindavane kimapi gomalato sadinam yad dushtajam svajanam arjapatam jahitva bejur mukunda parivrim shrutivir vimrigyam. Saying, what the Vedas are just, they're pointing in the direction of the Brajagopis have got that. Like Bhaktivinoda, they own Krishna. Copyright, trademark, registered to the Brajagopis. They own him. They can alone can distribute full Krishna. They alone can give entrance into the sweetest pastimes of Krishna. So what does Uddhava say? Like one of these modern day neophytes, that he wants to be one of them, or one of their assistants. I mean, he's Uddhava. He should know all these terms, right? Maybe he's read a few books, right? He should know all about it, right? Dwarka, Queens, Uddhava, certified by Krishna. So what does he say? I want, you know, that where they are, that's inconceivable. I mean, he was sent by Krishna to observe them firsthand. What does he think? I want to be, have an atomic presence in that plane where their lotus feet are moving in the plane of service. Some of the dust from their lotus feet may come upon my head like an object. Is it? Padarajobhishekam. Mahi asam padarajobhishekam. Anyway, those slokas, we had Prahlad recently. Rahugana. I'll be bathed in the dust of their holy lotus feet, and my existence will therefore be consecrated. And Guru Maharaj says, although, or Vishwanath says, he's there, there, he knows they will not do this. So he says, Bande Nanda Braja Strinam Padarenum Abhikshnasa Yasam Harikato Gitam Punati Bhuvanatrayam. They purify all the worlds, their Krishna Katha. And my aspiration is for the dust from their holy lotus feet. But and it's mentioned, if we say, why Sukadev doesn't mention the name of Srimati Radharani instead of opting for Anaya Radhita Nunam, Aradhita, the one who worshipped Krishna the best. Different explanations are given. One is, Guru Maharaj will say, that considering the Adhikar of the audience. And who are they? The greatest sages representing all the different schools of Vedic thought in the universe. They're not all necessarily qualified or ready to hear this. And who are we? Right. So that's their position. So he's hesitating to be so explicit. But in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, Sanatana Goswami gives another reason as well. He's saying that if Sukadev will vibrate her holy name and the names of those other principal Brajagopis, it will ignite a fire of separation in his heart that's so intense and all-consuming that he'll be unable to do his seva of speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikit Maharaj. That's in line with the thoughts of Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Daruka is the tears that are coming and he's becoming stunned, fanning Krishna. He is cursing that because it's interfering with his seva. Radharani is not unhappy. Her eyes are flooded with tears of ecstasy. It's blurring her vision of Krishna. So Sukadev, to maintain his composure as well, to not speak something inappropriate to the unqualified, and to maintain his own composure. Right? He's not trying to advertise, make an ostentatious display of achievement and impress everyone that they think, oh, he has so much devotion. He's moved to tears. Yeah. But the nature of this substance is such that we're told, unlike something in this world, if somebody, there's something that's tasteful and somebody extracts that taste, what's left is bland and tasteless. But this substance, we're told, if someone tastes it, it becomes more tasteful. So, like the shuk, the parrot, Prabhupada told, and I've seen in the bazaar in India, like fruits that have beaks, they'll say it's sometimes sweeter because they've already been tasted. So Sukadev, he's relishing this substance, and those who are hearing it, they're relishing it, but it's become all the more relishable by his relishing it. Same thing Guru Maharaj gives in the Bhakti Vinod Viraha Dasakam. Sri Gauranuvatam Srupa Viditam Rupagrajena Adritam Rupadye Pariveshitam Raghuganai Ashvaditam Shevitam. Raghunath Das, Raghuganai, it means in his group, it means Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Ashvaditam, they're what was given, what Mahaprabhu brought down, that Srup Damodar only knows fully, worshipped by Sanatan, extended, distributed by Rupa, Raghunath and his group, they're tasting that, and it's becoming enhanced. It's becoming even more sweeter. Like we see Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, he's always deferring to Rupa Goswami, of course, and Raghunath Das Goswami's Rupa Damodar, but particularly Rupa Goswami, quoting verses from Rupa Goswami. But often, they're accompanied by another verse that we don't have the capacity to appreciate this, but we can just say something. When you see that, like, here's the one he quotes from Rupa Goswami, then there's this other verse that follows, and you go, oh, this one is so wonderful, like that. And maybe you can even think, like, on some level, even more wonderful. And then you look at it, it says, Govinda Lilamritam, written by whom? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So that's been said about some of the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The devotees are happy for that. This isn't some mundane competition like the literary scholars want. The anxiety of influence. The creative people, they're worried about they're too much under the influence of a predecessor. They have to somehow surpass them. This isn't like that. They're happy. They're pleased. Kaviraj Goswami is giving his dandavats to the future readers of Chaitanya Charitamritam. Because he knows what that substance is. He's thinking, if there are people in the future who are appreciating this, and this is of this wonderful quality, that means they have some, then they're worthy of my dandavats, my pranams to them. It's a heartfelt feeling on his behalf. So, Sukadev, he's tasting that. But, I mean, just for the sake of Srila Guru Maharaj's remembrance, he will point out that Sukadev's like the loudspeaker. He's selected for a reason. And you think, like, why does he start out a Brahmavadi? And it's necessary, actually. It's not coincidental. Right? Parinishtitopi nairagunye uttama sloka lilaya grihita cheta rajarse akyanam yadaditavan. He's legendary. All those sages assembled from different parts of the universe, they know this is the legendary Sukadev who was liberated in the womb of his mother. Right? Sometimes they say he didn't come out. I mean, when he came out, he was 16. It like was right away. There wasn't like a baby Sukadev. You know, he's a fully liberated soul when he came out of the womb of his mother. Right? So they, when they were advising Parikshit Maharaj, they're thinking, as sincere people do, they're like, oh, I was suffering from this or this type of mundane affinity attraction, and this helped me. So I advised tapa, yoga, dhyan, many different things. Causing Sukadev, Parikshit Maharaj, before the appearance of Sukadev, to say, I have 7 days. Yeah. So please, all of you meet and discuss and give your consensus what I should do. He's saying yoga, this person, tapa, that person, all these different things. Give a consensus about what I should do. That's when Sukadev comes. And they all recognize the legendary Sukadev. Again, they have the ability to do that. We're told they're adept in the science of physiognomy. They can see by how beautiful he looks, the shape of his body, his neck, everything about him, that he's a Siddha Purush. Right? So, whereas up to that point, no, the children and others, they're calling him names, they think he's just crazy because he's naked, walking around naked. A naked 16-year-old boy, you know, and how he looks. So they think he's just a madman. But they're surprised. When he walks in this assemblage of sages, they're all bowing to him, and they give him the presidential seat. So that Sukadev says, by way of introduction, they all know who he is, what his background is. He says, I was situated already in the Nirguna plane. How do we know that? The story when Vyas runs after him, and he goes by the, what are called, Dibya Devis. Forget them, but they're like, they weren't just ordinary women, actually. But they were bathing in a kund nearby. And when Sukadev went by, they didn't bother to cover themselves. When Vyas inquired why, because they covered themselves and his presence, they said, and there's no mundane, no tinge of mundane vision in his eyes. So he's already certified that he has not even a trace amount of that sort of pollution of the mundane male-female relationship. And he's already certified like that. And he's saying, by way of introducing himself, then I heard the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the Braja Gopis. And that captured my consciousness and took me away to a world that I didn't know existed previously. That's what he says. So, I remember when, before joining that word, that I had the third volume of the first canto of the Bhagavatam, one of the so-called brown Bhagavatams, and I'm reading this, and it's amazing, and I get to, and it, but that one ends with saying, you know, Sukadev arrives, and there's this big build-up, and it says, then he began, the king says, what's the duty of one, particularly in life, for one who's about to die? And then it says, and then Sukadev, as he gets ready to answer, and then it says, thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Purport. And I said, no, like this is, no. I couldn't believe it. And I thought, no, you know, what's going on here? So I went back to the store and I said, do you have like the next volume? And he's like, this is all we have. And I was like, you're kidding. He's like, no. And I went over it many times with that man, looked on the book rack many times, like, this is not possible. You can't build up like that and then just, you know. It wasn't published yet, the first chapter of the second canto. So later, when I join, I was at ISKCON Press and like reading it, like, oh. Actually, they publish the chapters. They're just very hard to get. But what was the question?
What does it mean when it says that the Bhagavatam became sweeter after being tasted and spoken by Srila Shukadeva Goswami?
Right. There wasn't a part two?
Yes. What is the actual Bhagavatam or message of the Bhagavatam that was passed down from Krishna to Brahma to Narada, Vyas, etc.? And how did the different receivers enhance it?
Well, I think we said something about that. But we'll use Guru Maharaj's sloka, the one I quoted, for that interpretation. But really, in a phrase, a life of love with Krishna. When what we know is significant is that, as you go, Krishna, Brahma, Brahma, Narada, Narada to Vyas, that Narada, Vyasadeva is feeling despondent. Right? And that's, as Guru Maharaj said, it's very odd. This is the person who's given all the religious books there are. He's the one who's, in essence, saving everybody. But he's not feeling good. And Narada finds him in his ashram on the banks of the Saraswati and says, and we're paraphrasing and saying, because you didn't tell them they have the possibility of a life of love with Krishna. That's what it is. That's why we say Radha Dasyam. It's way beyond what people can conceive. And as Prabhupada mentions in his commentaries in the beginning, quoting Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, that without this, the sense of this being a realistic prospect, that you can actually have a loving relationship with the Supreme Entity, with Divinity, it indirectly, in Mayavad and other such things, indirectly give impetus to mundane relationships. Because we're so hardwired for it, then people will think the only place you can have it is in this world. And who's God? God is some, you know, fatherly figure in the sky looking down on people, you know, people having a good time. So that's an improper representation of who he is, who we are, and what is the possibility for relationship. That's the point. Achyuta Priya can also mean the one who's most dear to Achyuta. And that means Srimati Radharani. So, if you're going to speak about this possibility, how can she not be mentioned? So then the whole thing has to start being seen in another way. And Guru Maharaj determined, actually, it's all leading to her and her service. And what is her service? That's what it is about. Sri Radha, Parasevanamritamaho tadatumisho bhavan, Guru Maharaj is saying. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's gift to the world. Radha Dasyam, the service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Yata yata gora padara vinde, vinde ta bhaktim kritapunya rasi, tata tato tsarputi hridya kasma, radha padamboja sudambu rasi. The Bhagavatam says, Yajantihi sumedasa. And Guru Maharaj is rendering people with endowed with refined theistic intellect will appreciate that the entry point It's in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that sentiment is echoed in this sloka of Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. So, Sumedasa comes Sukritivan, who possess sufficient Sukriti, Vindeta Bhaktim Kritapunya, same thing, Kritapunya. Saying, so concentrate yourself on the in the service of the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga, Gaura Padaravinde, then automatically, subconsciously, deep within the core of your heart, the Radha Rasa Shudhanidhi begins to flow and someone awakens in the soil, that soil that Uddhava aspires an atomic presence in. It's a lot to say. So I grew up and said, Madan Mohan appears first, because that's showing Krishna has the beauty, charm, sweetness, and attraction to break the stronghold of Cupid, or Eros, has the stranglehold that Eros has upon everyone in this world. That's why Madan Mohan can break it, can bewilder that Cupid who's bewildering all of us. But he said that also hints at this possibility, that sequentially has. That's why Saraswati Thakur had Professor Sanyal publish that pamphlet called The Erotic Principle and Unalloyed Devotion. And like, what do these two things have to do with each other? Everything. Saraswati Thakur says, you can no more banish this principle than our existence. It's an integral part of existence. So whether from a Freudian perspective and the mundane world, or the actual, or the, Freud's observing the perverted reflection, it's at the center of everything, Radha and Krishna. And that's the best news that you could ever hear. It's the best news of all time. Is that Mahaprabhu and his, and Sanghe Bhai Avaduta, they're like taking souls to that domain. Once in a day of Brahma. Mahaprabhu, as we understand him, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita, only appears once in a day of Brahma. With Radha Bhava, not all the other Mahaprabhus, all not. That was 500 years ago. And, you know, and universal time, that's nothing. And somehow, by the grace of our Guru Varga, they're trying to bring us in connection with that. And that's the point of the Bhagavatam and everything. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Gayatri Mantra, everything, the Vedas, the flower of the Vedas, the fruit of the Vedas. Hare Krishna!